Daf Yud Tes. So Yitzchak says that anyone that disparages the dead, it's like they're disparaging a rock, meaning either because they just don't know or because they know and they just don't really care. But this doesn't make sense because Rav Papa said that someone once disparaged Shmuel after he died, and then there was a pole that immediately fell and split his head open. So he said, no, Hashem takes care of the honor of a Talmud Chacham, and Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi likewise says that if you disparage a Talmud Chacham after they die, then you're going to go to Gehenna. So Tam Devei Rabbi Shmuel says that if you see a Talmud Chacham sin at night, then you shouldn't suspect him in the morning because he did Teshuvah, but we only apply this by personal matters, though. If you saw some kind of financial wrongdoing, then you have to make sure that the money has been paid back. Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi says that there are 24 places in the Mishnah where we see that someone got excommunicated for insulting the honor of a Talmud Chacham, the Chachamim, Hashem. He was put in Nidoy, which was excommunication. Rabbi Lazar says, I was only able to find three, and these are the three. That the first is by disparaging a Talmud Chacham, that Akiva ben Mehalel says that you shouldn't give a convert or a freed Canaanite slave, Canaanite slave, that you shouldn't give them the Sota water, and the Chachamim say, no, we do give them the Sota water. And Shmaya and Avtalon, who are big Talmidei Chachamim, they even gave to a freed slave. So that's a great raya that you are supposed to give to the freed slave and the convert. So Akiva ben Mahalal said, oh yeah, you can't rely on them. They're converts too. You know, they just want their kind to look good or something like that, because they said they wanted to make it seem like converts and freed slaves were equal to regular Jews. But this was a very disrespectful comment. So they put Akiva ben Mahalal in Nidoy. They excommunicated him, and then he died while in excommunication, and they put a stone on his grave. The next case is Rabbi Yehuda said, saying, no, don't say this was Akiva ben Mahalal. He was a great tzaddik. There was no one as righteous as him. Rather, who was it? It was Elazar ben Chanoch who was put in Nidoy. Why? Because he belittled the Dirabanan commandment to wash your hands, and he died while in Nidoy. And they put a stone on his grave to teach that anyone that dies in Nidoy gets a stone put on their grave. I'm not totally sure why they have to stone their grave. If anyone has a good answer, please let me know. I'm kind of curious. So the third case is, we said that if you are insolent towards Hashem, you're disrespectful to Hashem. And how do we know this? Because Shimon ben Shetach told Choni HaMagil, who drew a circle to make it rain, and we'll get into that when we get into Masechus Tainus in a few years. He says that, you know, you are very disrespectful to Hashem, and you should be put in Nidoy for challenging Hashem, but, you know, you were answered. So what can we do? You clearly, like, you're like a son that, you know, is disrespectful to their father, and their father answers them. You're not going to get punished. Fine. Now we try to bring in some other cases. We say, but there's a case where Shimon ben Shetach told Todos that he deserved Nidoy for commanding Bnei Yisrael to eat what looked like the Karban Pesach on the first night of Pesach outside of the Beis HaMikdash, right? So that's a big no-no. We don't want people to think that they are doing the Karban Pesach outside of the Beis HaMikdash, outside of Eretz Yisrael. So we said that here he's talking about Nidoy in this case. And we said, no, that's a brisa. So we're talking about cases in the Mishnah. So we said, fine, I'll bring you a case in the Mishnah. There's a case where we said, if you split an oven open, and this is called the Tanor Shalachnai, by the way, if you split an oven open and you fill the cracks with sand, Rabbi Eliezer says that it's Tahor, and the Chachamim say this oven with sand filled in the cracks is Tameh. And the brisa on that says that that day, Rabbi Eliezer was making such a big fight, such a ruckus, and he was trying to go out of his way as possible to make it known that the halacha is like him, which you're not allowed to do against all the chachamim and the rabbim. So that day, they actually burned everything that Rabbi Eliezer had deemed tahor, and they put him in Nidoy. But we said again that this is not explicit in the Mishnah. This is a brisa coming in and filling in the story. So, you know, clearly it's very hard to get to 24. So how did Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi get to 24? So he said that Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi used any case like the three that were explicit. He said anytime that something like this happened, even though it's not explicit in the Mishnah that they were put in excommunication, he included those, where Rabbi Lazar was only looking for explicit mentions of Nidoy in the Mishnah. So we said, going back to the Mishnah talking about how to do a proper burial, so we said that you shouldn't bring out the mace around the time of Kriyat Shema. You shouldn't go to bury someone around the time for Kriyat Shema. But if you did do that, then you shouldn't stop. But we said Rabbi Yosef was buried right around the time of Kriyat Shema. We said, no, an Adam Chashev, an important person, a big Rav like Rabbi Yosef, that's different. So we said that if you're eulogizing, continuing on in the Mishnah, that if you're eulogizing while the mace is before you, then one by one the people should slip out and say Kriyat Shema if it's time for Kriyat Shema. But if the dead body is not there, then everyone can say it together, but the Avel himself would be silent because he's putter from Kriyat Shema. But then they would go on to say Shemona Esrei, and the Avel should stand with them. And as he's going, he should say, like, wow, yeah, Hashem, I have so many sins, like, you know, I haven't been forgiven for them. Please forgive me for all my sins. And Abaye says, you know, you shouldn't go around saying how many sins you have to give an opening to the Satan. It's kind of like an ayin hara on yourself. It's not a good thing to do. So we said that in the Mishnah, if you can finish Kriya Shema before the mourners get to your row, then you should start it. But we have a brisa that says, even if you can only say one paragraph or one pasuk even, then that's good enough. This seems to say that you have to be able to say the entire Kriya Shema. And we said, no, that's what the Mishnah means, that if you can start and say even just one pasuk or one paragraph, that would be good enough. So we said that the going on in the Mishnah, that if there is... Yeah, we're in the Gemara now, but we said that based on the Mishnah that if you are part of a line that is able to see the inner line that the Avelim are walking through, then you would be Pator from saying Kriya Shema. But if you're not able to see that inner line that the mourners are walking through, there are so many people there and so many lines that you are not able to see that inner line, then you would be Chaya to say Kriya Shema. Rabbi Yehuda said, no, it's different qualification. If you're there to comfort the mourners, then you are Pater from Kriya Shema. But if you're just there to watch, you know, to see the burial for some reason, then you would be Chaya to say Kriya Shema. Rabbi Yehuda said in the name of Rav, that if you have a shirt and you see that it has shatnez in it, you have to take it off right away, even if you're in public. Why? Because your honor can't come before Hashem's honor. Hashem's honor has to come before yours, and it's more important. Fine, but then we brought in a bunch of disproofs to this. We said that a person says that you should follow a mourner as he's walking, however he decides to walk. If he decides to go down a path that is tahor, you follow him. If he decides to go down a path that is tamei, you nonetheless follow him to show him honor. But we said, why? Shouldn't you show honor to Hashem? Is that more important? And Rav Abba answers that, no, the path that he was walking down that was tamei was only tamei dirabanan as a beis hapras. This is a special kind of place where it had a grave and the grave was plowed over. So that is only Tamei Dirabanan, and then it's fine. And we even show there are many leniencies already about this Beis HaPras. Rabbi Yehuda says in the name of Shmuel that you can walk through it as long as, you know, you blow around the sticks that might be covering it and try to move things around so you could see if there are any bones there so that you don't come in contact with them. And Rav says that once this Beis HaPras becomes trampled, then it's totally tower. So we see there are many leniencies by a Beit HaPras. So Belazar Bar Tzadok, another disproof, says that they would all climb over the graves to see the king. This will sound very familiar from the Gemara on Testament Beis, that they would all run to see the king, and even the non-Jewish king, because they wanted to know how to respect a non-Jewish king so that they would see when Mashiach comes all the respect that Melech HaMashiach got. But again, you know, they're running over these graves and becoming tameh, which should be a big problem. So he said, no, graves are different because, Rava answers that graves are different because of the concept of ohel. And ohel means that if some kind of tumah is enclosed within it, is in an enclosure, and let's say, for example, a dead body, and there's a tent. So as long as the dead body has at least one tefach of airspace between the dead body and the top of the tent, a tefach is a fistful, so, you know, that's not so much, then the tumah will be concealed within this tent. So all graves, almost all graves have that, because the mace is put under the ground, and then there's a tefach of space between that dead body and the top of the grave. So really, the tumah should all be locked in there. So on a deraisa level, all graves are not actually tameh, but derabanan, we said, we're worried about the some that would actually be considered tameh because they don't have a tefach of space, and they don't have the properties of an ohel. So on a derabanan level, we made all graves tameh. But we're saying that for the kavod of a king, therefore, the Chachamah made no gzera against that, and there would be no issue, there would be no violation of a derabanan here, so there's no problem running over these graves to, maybe morally, but there would be no problem of running over these graves to see the king. Another disproof, we said that kavod abrios, the honor for a person, trumps any isser in the Torah. So how does that work? Rav Bar Shevia says it overrides the deoraisa commandment to follow the derabanan, basically meaning that kavod abrios trumps all derabanans. Finally, another disproof, we said that there's a pasuk that says that you can hide from Hashavas Aveda, the mitzvah to return a lost object. When are these cases when you don't have to engage in Hashavas Aveda? One is if you're a Kohen who sees a lost object in a cemetery, they can't become tame. The second is a zakin, and it would be beneath his dignity to go around and do Hashavas Aveda. And the third is, if it's going to be more work to return the object than the object's worth. So why do we care about the Zaken's kavod? Why do we care about his honor? Shouldn't he have to do it anyway because Hashem is more important, the mitzvahs are more important? We said, no, there is a pasuk that excludes it there and exempts the Zaken, so that's why it's different there. And we said, why don't we just learn that this pasuk applies everywhere, that a kavod of a person is more important than an isser or something like that. And we said, no, you can't learn monetary things. You can't learn from monetary practices like Hashavas Aveda to all other practices. And so why does the pasuk say, finally, another disproof, the final disproof is, why does the pasuk say v'la'achoso? So we said that if you are going to do the Karban Pesach or a Bris Milah, which are very time-bound mitzvos and can only be done in their time, and or they're definitely a bris is best to do in their time, Karban Pesach best to do in their time, and you hear that you had a relative that died, then you shouldn't go bury them and become tummy, because then you won't be able to do the Karban Pesach or a bris in its time. But you might have thought that if you see a dead body lying on the road, a mace mitzvah, that also you shouldn't become tummy for them to go bury them. So we said, no, ulachoso teaches only for your relative are you not to make yourself tamei, but for a mace mitzvah, a random body on the ground, then you would become tamei and go engage in that and not worry about the mitzvah of bris and karban pesach. But why do we care more about kavod abrios, of burying this random guy, than a mitzvah of karban pesach or bris? We said, no, that's not a disproof, because the pasuk itself is exempting in the case of a mace mitzvah. So we said, why don't we learn this pasuk to all cases? And we said, no, there's a fundamental difference here. This is a case where you're not doing the mitzvah of bris or karban pesach, and instead you're doing a different mitzvah. But you can't say that it's okay to do something for honor and violate the Torah. That you can't do. Shkeach.